WPR is your source for essential news and refreshing music, thanks to the support of more than 50,000 members. Listener support makes WPR possible. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/donate.
So, Bridget, we've reached episode 6, and we've been through a lot.
Yep. We went to school to learn about redistricting. We learned about the last time redistricting happened in Wisconsin, what that meant for the state, and the legal challenges.
But the story doesn't end there, right?
That's right, because redistricting is happening again, right now.
So, I guess we should talk about what's going to happen this time.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. The legislature has a constitutional duty to redistrict. Republicans run the legislature, so they'll pass a map. End of story.
Oh, not so fast. Because remember, our governor, Tony Evers, is a Democrat. And I can tell you from my keen journalistic observational powers that he's going to veto that map. And by the way, the governor has his own maps that were drawn up by a commission he established.
Okay. And let me draw from my keen journalistic observational powers and offer you this. The legislature's not going to pass his maps.
Sounds like an impasse. And what do we do when we have an impasse in redistricting? We go to court.
Specifically, we go to federal court, which has a long history of handling redistricting.
Hold on. I beg to differ. This is a state matter, and they have courts here, including the state Supreme Court, which will obviously be the one to resolve this case.
Well, I heard that the state Supreme Court doesn't even want to take up redistricting because it's complicated. Like, one of the justices even said they don't have the staff for it.
Yeah, well, I heard there's a bill that would just turn over the whole thing to a nonpartisan redistricting commission, like Iowa.
Okay, but aren't we really ignoring the elephant in the room here? Two words, joint resolution. You can't veto those.
Okay, so when you put it that way, it sounds like a lot, but there really are a lot of ways redistricting could go this time.
And in this episode, we're going to talk you through them.
From WPR Reports, I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Bridget Bowden. This is Mapped Out.
Okay, theoretically, there are a few different ways this could go. First, nonpartisan redistricting.
Taking the process out of the legislature's hands and handing it to a nonpartisan agency. Remember this from the last episode? It's popular in Wisconsin, supported by 70% of the voting public across the partisan divide.
There have also been referenda all over the state in support of nonpartisan redistricting. And these are non-binding, but they give you an idea of where people are at.
There's a bill that would set up a system where the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys would draw the maps. Lawmakers would then have the chance to vote them up or down. When it was introduced this year, supporters held a rally outside the Capitol.
This bill is not about any party. It's about establishing a process that gets politicians out of the map-making business altogether.
So let's pass this bill to bring fair maps to the people and bring common sense back to Wisconsin and public service. Thank you.
That was State Representative Deb Andraka and State Senator Jeff Smith. And while they are pushing a nonpartisan redistricting system, they're both Democrats.
And so are most of the speakers at this rally. The bill does have two Republican co-authors, but in Wisconsin, practically speaking, it's mostly Democrats who want to change the way we draw maps.
But if you lived somewhere else, you might be hearing a lot of the same arguments, only from Republicans. Listen to this press conference from Illinois Republicans about redistricting.
Politicians should not draw their own maps. Politicians shouldn't pick their own voters. And the people know that if any one party rejects an independent map-making process, they do so solely to fulfill a political and partisan purpose.
That's Jason Barrickman. He's a state senator from Bloomington, Illinois. And we know we mentioned this, but it bears repeating. He's a Republican.
In Illinois, Democrats hold all the power, so they get to draw the maps. It's kind of the opposite of what happened in Wisconsin in 2011. So some of the stuff you hear Illinois Republicans say sounds a lot like what you hear from Wisconsin Democrats.
And there's another Republican who wanted redistricting reform. Someone you've definitely heard of.
The fact is gerrymandering has become a national scandal.
So two things. Yeah, that's Ronald Reagan calling for redistricting reform. And yes, he calls gerrymandering gerrymandering. And he knows what he's doing here. Remember episode one? Gerrymandering is named after Elbridge Gerry. Reagan stands by the hard G.
But the point here is, that's Ronald Reagan, Republican legend.
He gave that speech at a meeting of the Republican Governors Association in 1987, toward the end of his second term as president. He's frustrated that despite his strong popularity, he's never had a Congress that was fully controlled by Republicans.
Fair deal, and that's all we're asking for. An end to the anti-democratic and un-American practice of gerrymandering congressional districts.
And Reagan talked about this repeatedly. In one interview, he suggested the founding fathers got it wrong when they set up the way we redistrict. In another, he articulated his own plan.
What I think it should be done is that there should be a bipartisan commission appointed every 10 years to redraw the districts to reflect what were the changes in population and so forth. Instead, when you leave it to the legislatures, it is a conflict of interest.
What's our point here? Redistricting reform is not strictly a Democratic or Republican issue. It depends on political circumstances.
And the circumstances in Wisconsin are this. Democratic lawmakers want redistricting reform, but they're basically powerless to make it happen because they'd need Republicans to change the system. And Republicans in Wisconsin say they won't do it.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss put out a written statement the day of that Wisconsin rally saying he would not support a nonpartisan redistricting plan. Voss said, quote, "The Wisconsin Constitution requires the state legislature to enact a redistricting plan. It would be unconstitutional to turn this duty over to a group of unelected bureaucrats."
So as you can see, this is not a power Wisconsin Republicans plan to give up anytime soon.
But other states have done this recently, like Michigan. So why does it happen there and not here?
To help us answer this and think through what could happen in Wisconsin this year, we talked to someone who's an expert in redistricting law, University of Wisconsin-Madison law professor Rob Yablon.
He says other states have avenues for changing the system that we don't.
I think that we are probably more locked in here than in most other places. Because we lack direct democracy options in Wisconsin, because amending the Constitution in Wisconsin is not that easy.
So in Michigan, voters passed citizen initiatives to amend their state constitution. Now their maps are drawn by independent commissions instead of the legislature.
And you can amend the Constitution in Wisconsin. It happens every few years. But there's a catch. It can't be done by a citizen initiative. You need the legislature's help.
Specifically, the legislature has to pass a resolution twice before it goes to voters. If lawmakers don't want it, they just don't put it on the ballot.
We're stuck with the political actors having to give away some of their power. And that is something that they are loath to do.
So we're not saying Wisconsin could never go to a nonpartisan commission for redistricting. We're just saying right now, it's very unlikely.
That said, the governor, Tony Evers, wanted to try something like this.
In the coming days, I will be signing an executive order to create a nonpartisan redistricting commission who will draw the people's maps.
The governor's People's Maps Commission is a little different than the system advocates at that rally were proposing. Instead of relying on civil servants, Evers picked a panel of retired judges to pick a panel of 9 citizens to take input from the public and draw maps.
This commission looked at traditional redistricting criteria when it drew the maps. You know, that stuff we keep talking about, compactness, contiguity, try not to split up communities.
And the commission added another principle, something they call partisan fairness. Basically, the idea was that they wanted a legislative map which more closely resembled Wisconsin's statewide elections. In other words, about 50-50 Republican and Democrat.
They worked with Moon Duchin, a redistricting expert and math professor from Tufts University in Massachusetts.
We're going to call that pretty fair. And we're going to be able to defend that to everyday Wisconsinites as we travel around the state. We drew a map that, if you look at the way people have voted recently, it tends to give representation that is pretty similar to the share of people's preferences. I think that's a pretty sound, a pretty good story to tell, and a pretty achievable goal.
That was the goal anyway. But the first set of maps the commission released were not 50-50. In fact, Republicans would still maintain a 53% majority under any of the options.
And this is due to the well-known fact that if you draw districts against the real political geography of most any American state, there's districts tend to confer a geographic advantage to Republicans who at this time in U.S. history are more spread out across rural areas, while Democrats are a bit more concentrated.
So when Duchin refers to political geography, think about what that means in Wisconsin. Our cities, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, etc., are full of Democratic voters. And they're even more Democratic than they used to be a couple decades ago. We've talked about packing and redistricting. Some of it happens naturally.
That leaves fewer Democrats in small towns and rural areas than there used to be. So even a neutral redistricting plan can still favor one party.
The whole idea of this commission was to produce a final map and ask the legislature to vote on it. But Republicans in the legislature, like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, say they won't pass this map.
We are going to go through our own process. Whatever Governor Evers wants to do, he has one part in this role to play. He has the ability to sign or veto a map. He doesn't get to draw them. That's not in the Constitution. He can form whatever kind of fake, phony, partisan process he wants to create. But I have no doubt in the end, we will do it the way we always have, which is to follow the Constitution.
So again, we're not saying this can't happen or that the People's Maps Commission won't influence redistricting this time around.
But it faces long odds. The legislature has other plans.
More on that after the break.
Sometimes politics can make your head swim. So let the WPR Politics Podcast be your floaty. We'll haul you out of the deep end with all the latest in Wisconsin state politics so you can decide what's interesting and important. Join me, John K. Wilson, along with WPR Capitol reporter Laurel White and Sean Johnson, you know, the guy from this podcast, for new episodes almost every single week. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at WPR.org/politics.
We've been talking about the Wisconsin state legislature for 5 episodes, how they were able to draw the maps in 2011 and cement their majority for a decade.
The state constitution says after the census, the legislature shall apportion and district anew the members of the Senate and Assembly according to the number of inhabitants.
Just like the last time, Republicans have hired private attorneys to help with redistricting. But they also took a page from the governor's People's Maps Commission. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss set up his own public redistricting portal where people can submit maps online.
But the submissions are not just from random people. A few came from Joe Handrick. Remember him? He's been involved in redistricting for decades and was one of the Republicans working in the map room in 2011.
The legislature unveiled its maps on October 20th. And just like a decade ago, they are far more Republican than the state as a whole. A review by the Campaign Legal Center found they'd make it virtually impossible for Democrats to win a majority.
Republicans are going to pass their map, and then it will go to Governor Tony Evers' desk. And what might the governor do?
So I want to be clear today. If the Republican maps come to my desk as they're currently drafted, I'll veto them. It's just as simple as that.
So to review, nonpartisan redistricting in Wisconsin. Could happen, but probably not going to happen.
The People's Maps Commission map. Again, could happen, but likely not.
The legislature and governor agreeing on a map. Again, technically possible, but probably not going to happen.
So what is going to happen?
Well, this map will probably be decided by a court. Which court? Yablon says it could go a couple different ways.
you know, litigators on both sides are going to try to find the court where they think they're most likely to achieve their goals.
There are really two options, federal court or the state Supreme Court. Let's start with federal court.
We know that's where Democrats want to resolve redistricting because they filed a lawsuit there just one day after the new U.S. Census data was released. 10 days later, several citizen groups that align with Democrats filed their own lawsuit in that same court.
Why might Democrats prefer federal court?
I think that for the Democrats, or really anyone who wants to undo the gerrymander that we have in Wisconsin, they probably thought that they would have a better shot in federal court, given the track record of the federal courts with Wisconsin redistricting in the past.
Federal courts had a hand in drawing Wisconsin's maps in the 2000s, the 1990s, and the 1980s. They handle redistricting a lot.
Redistricting cases in federal court always go before a panel of three judges. And this year, that panel includes two judges appointed by President Barack Obama and one appointed by President Donald Trump.
So even though they wouldn't have known it at the time they filed the case, Yablon says,
you know, I do think that the Democrats probably were fairly happy with that panel.
This panel has indicated it is prepared to take over redistricting if the governor and legislature don't agree.
But first, this federal court is going to give a state court a chance to resolve redistricting, specifically the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And that is where a conservative group, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, has chosen to file its lawsuit. And GOP lawmakers have joined them.
So, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Where do we begin? There is a lot to say.
So first of all, it has 7 members. They serve 10-year terms.
And while redistricting is definitely within their purview, they typically have not been the ones to do it here. The last time they drew a map for Wisconsin was 1964.
Earlier this year, there was a hearing for a plan that would force the Wisconsin Supreme Court to handle redistricting. About 4 minutes after it starts, Chief Justice Patience Rogensack cuts in. She doesn't see how the state Supreme Court could handle map drawing.
Drawing maps would take a huge staff. We don't have them. And since we work for the state, we can't just go hire somebody. You have to have position authority before you can do that. I don't know how in the world you think the court could ever draw the maps.
But those hesitations aside, Rob Yablon says the state Supreme Court could still end up resolving redistricting if justices do it another way.
It's possible that the state Supreme Court will be more inclined to just choose one of the maps that's submitted to it, which requires a little bit less technical expertise on its part.
Something else you need to know about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's an elected court, and it's officially nonpartisan. Officially. But in practice, these races get very partisan. So partisan that these days, the Democratic and Republican parties both actively campaign for the candidates they want.
The state Supreme Court has had a conservative majority for a while now, since 2008.
And in many instances, that court has sided with the position that's preferred by the Republicans in the legislature.
In the last decade, the court upheld major laws passed during Scott Walker's administration. Act 10, the law that took away union rights, voter ID, the lame duck laws.
The court currently has a 4-3 conservative majority. But for the last couple years, on some very big issues, that majority has not been a given.
That's really because of one justice, Brian Hagedorn.
Hagedorn was elected in 2019, and like many statewide elections in Wisconsin, it was close. He won by less than 6,000 votes statewide.
A lot of people didn't think he was going to win that year. And when he did, he made a point to thank the people who got him there. Here he is at the 2019 Republican State Convention.
Thank you. Thank you. When I got punched, you were the ones who punched back. When I got knocked down, you grabbed the baton and you kept running with it. You did. You did this.
So this was Justice-elect Hagedorn, who had just won an officially nonpartisan race, thanking a room full of Republicans.
And again, I'm here to say thank you.
But Hagedorn tells Republicans something else that day, and with the benefit of hindsight, it seems significant. Hagedorn says he's not going to play politics on the court. He'll defend the rule of law.
And it might mean, by the way, that sometimes I issue rulings over the next 10 years that some of you won't like. But I just want you to know that when that happens, it's because I'm being faithful to the oath that I'm going to take, and I'm doing exactly what I said I was going to do.
And Hagedorn has indeed gone against Republicans. He ruled against them when they challenged the Evers administration's stay-at-home order. And he ruled against President Donald Trump and his allies three times in lawsuits seeking to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 election results.
So, Rob Yablon says Brian Hagedorn is definitely the justice everyone is watching if the Wisconsin Supreme Court decides to handle redistricting. And Yablon thinks there's a fair chance Hagedorn might not side with Republicans.
I think that he might think that that courts are meant to be neutral arbiters. And it's hard to really cast yourself as a neutral arbiter if you're choosing a redistricting plan that is very clearly one that has a partisan tilt to it.
But one more thing about Justice Brian Hagedorn. About a decade ago, the last time Wisconsin's district maps were drawn, Hagedorn had a very different job. He wasn't a justice. He wasn't a judge. He was chief legal counsel for Republican Governor Scott Walker.
In other words, he was Walker's lawyer when Walker signed the map.
Okay, before we wrap up this list of what-ifs, we want to talk about two other things that could happen.
And at this moment in time, these might seem more far-fetched than the other options, but they're worth talking about.
One of those options would be a massive shakeup to the way redistricting has historically happened in Wisconsin. Republicans could try to bypass the governor altogether and pass redistricting as a joint resolution, which does not require his signature.
The legislature actually tried this in 1963, but a unanimous Wisconsin Supreme Court struck them down. They said redistricting is something the legislature and governor have to do together.
So Rob Yablon says, in theory, the current legislature could try this again, and the current Supreme Court could overturn this 57-year precedent. But
I think that that is a heavy lift for them, even with the 4-3 conservative majority on the court. Again, it is conceivable, but I would be surprised if they were successful with that.
Republican leaders were asked about this in 2019, and they said they'd never even discussed it. But they also never promised they wouldn't try.
Before we wrap up, there is one more hypothetical that seems worth mentioning. And it depends on what happens in the 2022 election.
Let's say the redistricting process happens like we expect. A court draws the maps, and it seems like everything is done.
And let's say that in the 2022 elections, Republicans keep their majorities in the legislature, and they defeat Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
They take office in 2023, and just like during the Walker years, they have single-party control of state government. Could they pass another new map?
I do think that they could redo a court-drawn map if they chose to.
And we checked with the Legislative Reference Bureau about this, the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys. And they said, yes, a future legislature and governor could redraw the maps this decade. In fact, they could redraw the lines as many times as they want to.
Elections, they matter. Because whoever wins could guide this unseen force and harness the power of redistricting for years to come. Wait, one more thing. Remember, redistricting is happening right now.
We'll be keeping an eye on it. And when stuff happens, we'll be here with updates. So stay tuned. Mapped Out is reported by Bridget Bowden.
And Sean Johnson. We're produced by Brad Kohlberg, edited by Noah Ovshinsky. Music by Carl Christensen. Additional support from Adam Friedrich.
Digital editing by John K. Wilson and digital direction by David Hyland.
Photography by Angela Major. Artwork by John Nichols.
You can see more at wpr.org/mappedout.